To God be the glory. Thank you, Jesus, for all that you have done for me. I feel so much lighter today than I did the last time I stood before you. Words cannot express how thankful I am to God for crossing over to this side. It was not easy. It was not easy. But anything that's easy, you don't learn. You don't grow. You do not learn and you do not grow. First, give an honor to God for his goodness and his mercies to this Tabernacle Baptist Church, to the deacons ministries, to all the ministries that work hard in this family to make sure that Tabernacle stands, remains standing, and will continue to stand. Amen. You got to have people that's willing to work, to labor in the field in order to make sure that the generations that's coming behind us, the legacy that we leave, is going to be here. So I thank you to all the Tabernacle, everybody. Thank you to those who are out there on the World Wide Web watching. We appreciate you. We really do appreciate you tuning in to the Tabernacle Baptist Church of Dayton, Ohio. Because there's so many channels out there, but we thank you. We thank you for tuning in. I'd like to thank everybody who showed up on May the 20th. The Easons, Sister Gail, Dr. Bonds, Sister Isaac, and it was probably some more people there that I don't remember. It was so much going on. Oh my goodness, it was so much going on. But I am so thankful to everybody who showed up, to those who watched online, to those who said a prayer for me, to those who just thought about me on May the 20th. I thank you. I thank you for all that everybody has greeted me today with a hello, congratulations. You just don't know. Before, I felt like I was an implant when I came to Tabernacle. Then I felt like, well, maybe I was adopted. But now I feel like family. So I had to say that. Also, a special thanks to Dr. Michelle Pierce Mobley and Dr. Giovanni Bonds, who were my professional associates on my doing this time over 3 years. It was not easy. Oh Lord, it wasn't easy. Can you put the slides on, please? I know you all have probably wondered, okay, she was going to school. She'd been in school. When she came here, she had just got out of school. I'm done now, though. But you probably wonder, well, what was she going for? What was it all about? So today I decided to tell you what it was all about. My focus group that I was in is called, because I'm still a part of that group, Prophetic Preaching and Praxis. And that's part of the Walker Cummings Fellows. I did not go to Hoopology 101. And they do have a class in some seminaries that you can go to learn how to hoop. So I did not go to Hoopology 101, so you won't get that. First got to know how to sing, but I can't do that. My assignment and training is to preach prophetically, not preaching to influence or convince, but to preach to inform you about the Word of God, about Jesus Christ. I will not, and I pray that I have not preached as a homiletical hostage. And that is a person who preaches what the congregation wants to hear, or eisegetes what I want to hear out the Bible. I'm not going to do that. If I do that, slap me. I'm not going to do that. Instead, I prefer to preach what thus says the Lord. That's my aim. I understood my call when I was first called in 1998, and it took me to 2002 before I could tell the Lord yes, because I understood the call, and I understood the heavy weight of the call, so I could not just say, okay, I'm called and I'm gone. I couldn't do that. That was part of the 3.5 years of training. So you want the title of my dissertation is A Ministry of Motherhood, Strengthening Marginalized Single Mothers Within the Church Relating to Grief, Parenting, and Leadership. And the Lord will give me the opportunity to speak on that later, and when he does, I will. Where can the thesis be found? Well, now it is in an internet archive under United Theological Seminary's doctoral thesis. And it's a link to go to, and if you want it, I'll give it to you. But that means now that I am published. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay, that's enough, but I figure you would. Well, she been going to school, so what she been doing? So now you know what I've been doing all this time and why. Okay, there is a word from the Lord. There is a word from the Lord. Let us pray. Even now, Lord, even now. Lord, bless me with this word. Lord, I pray that this sermon will help to reach people with the truth of your gospel. Lord, I'm depending on you and you alone. I'm depending on you, God, for the effectiveness of this message through the Holy Spirit today. Remove Robin right now, Lord, and stand up in me. In Jesus' name I pray. Let the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. For you are my strength and my redeemer. Only God can make a day. And if he gives you that day, he will surely give you the bread that you need for that day. Amen. 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 Today is Pentecostal Sunday. Today is Pentecost Sunday. Y'all knew that Resurrection Sunday was my favorite holiday. And then we get another holiday after Resurrection Sunday. We get Pentecost Sunday. So that means it's been 50 days since we had resurrection. Because Pentecost comes 50 days after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Normally in the bulletin, or on the bulletin, the front of the bulletin, I print scriptures at the top and then chapters or something to read. And so I've been doing that for a while. I don't know if anybody's paying attention or reading it, but I hope you have. I hope you got your Bibles today. Because I want to preach from chapters 1 and 2 of Acts of the Apostles, but that's a lot to read. So I have picked out a few verses, but I want you to follow me along in your Bibles or on your phones or your tablets, okay? And it's quite a bit, so you can remain seated, okay? I'm going to start off in Acts 1 and 1 and 2, then 4 and 5, then 9, and then I'm going to go to Acts 2, 1 through 4, and then maybe 16 and 21. Okay. It starts off, Luke says, in my first book, I told you, Theophilus, about everything Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving his chosen apostles further instructions through the Holy Spirit. Once, when he was eating with them, he commanded them, do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised. As I told you before, John baptized with water, but in just a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. After saying this, he was taken up into a cloud while they were watching until they could no longer see him. Acts 2. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven, like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Spirit gave them this ability. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. Amen. Amen. Luke's gospel describes only the beginning of Jesus' work, while the book of Acts describes its continuation. Now we see that the work of Jesus continues to this present day. It continues to this present day. Pentecost is the day the church, not just the Baptist church or the Pentecostals, but the universal church, the church that believes in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The day of Pentecost is today, which is 50 days from Resurrection Sunday. It is a celebration of the gift of the Holy Spirit's power to proclaim the risen Christ to the ends of the earth. So it started in Luke, continued in Acts, and now it continues to this present day. It says, until the ends of the earth. Some churches do not celebrate this day, because in order to celebrate this day, you have to believe in the speaking of tongues. You have to believe it. You can't read it and not believe it. You have to believe it. Even though it's right here in the Bible, everybody don't believe it, or they don't want to believe it. For the Baptist church, years ago, I'm just telling you what I heard. Years ago, I ain't got nothing to do with what you heard. I'm just telling you what I heard. They would say that this is the stuff that the holiness church does. Amen. Right. Well, I'm part of God's church, and I want to be holy. Speaking in tongues is a gift from God. Some speak in tongues. Some interpret the speaking of tongues. You can find the gifts of the Spirit listed in the books of Romans, 1 Corinthians, Ephesians, 1 Peter, and Titus. And you will find references for the gift of leadership, the gift of administration, the gift of teaching, the gift of knowledge, the gift of wisdom, the gift of prophecy, the gift of discernment, the gift of exhortation, the gift of shepherding, the gift of faith, the gift of evangelism, the gift of apostleship. A very special gift is a gift of service and helps. Some people don't think that's a gift, but it is. The gift of mercy, the gift of giving, and the gift of hospitality. That's just the name of few. And I know people in this building that have at least one of these gifts. Everybody don't want to operate in their gift. The Lord left these gifts through the Holy Spirit for us to use until the ends of the earth. I'm sure you can do a more extensive search on Mr. Google and find that there are way more than this. Everybody has a place in the kingdom of God. Everybody has a special gift in the kingdom of God to operate in the kingdom. It says, on the day of Pentecost, the sound of rushing wind, the tongues of fire, and then the conversion of 3,000 was such a remarkable event. But the things that are described in Acts 2 and 42 is what I want to address today. And that is the remaining legacy of God's work. The remaining legacy of God's work. The apostles continue steadfast in Jesus' doctrine, and we share the same Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We share the same God who guides us for life. We share the same love for God. We share the same desire to worship Him. We share the same struggles that they had. We also share the same victories. We share the job of living for Jesus Christ. So we should share the same joy of spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. So my question today, it says that the fire came down, and the tongues started talking. And everybody from everywhere could understand everybody. And what they understood was the wonderful work of Jesus Christ. It didn't matter what country they was from. It didn't matter what race they were. It didn't matter what religion or denomination they had made up. None of that mattered. They all had different languages, but they understood the wonderful works of Jesus Christ. They understood all that. So my question today is, what language are you speaking? What language are you speaking? Jesus was in his resurrected body, and he was teaching the disciples through the power of the Holy Spirit, speaking of things that pertain to the kingdom of God. He was in a resurrected body. He was in a resurrected body, but he still operated in the power of the Holy Spirit. He chose not to just lean on his resurrection, but also to lean on the Holy Spirit as well. Until the day he was taken up, all instructions that he gave to the disciples was through the Holy Ghost. He was the resurrected Savior, but he still chose to rely on the Holy Spirit. If you read in the text, 1 and 2, you'll see where I'm at. if the glorified, resurrected Jesus needed and relied on the Holy Spirit, so should we. So should we. The Bible says that we were created in his image. So if we were created in his image, then we need to be walking like Jesus. So if Jesus died on the cross, was buried in Joseph Arimathea's tomb, rose on the third day when the women got there to the tomb, he was gone. He did all this, but he still chose to operate under the power of the Holy Spirit. What language are you speaking? What tongues are you using? One thing that Jesus commanded them was not to leave Jerusalem. Jerusalem means home. Jerusalem always comes first. That's why I tell people, and they say, well, I got to do so and so and so, but I got to do so and so at home. My family, so Jerusalem always comes first. Always comes first. Because the church of the living God is inside of you. But Jerusalem comes first. And if you take care of Jerusalem, the Lord will see that you can take care of the house. But the church is a living organism. And the church dwells with inside you. So just remember that Jerusalem always comes first. And he told them to wait. Stay here in Jerusalem and wait. Wait for the promise of the Father. He told them to wait. He told them that John baptized with water, but just wait and you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Don't leave Jerusalem. Wait. We're in a waiting period right now. And we cannot get frustrated in the waiting. We cannot move ahead of the waiting. We have to just wait on God. Wait on God. This wait means that it was worth waiting for. This wait. Wait. Wait on God. This wait means that they had a promise and it would come. You know, sometimes people promise you stuff and you wait on it and don't never show up. But right here, this wait means that they had a promise and that it would come. This wait means they must receive it. They couldn't create it themselves. They couldn't make it. They couldn't just build it. They just had to wait. This wait means that they would be tested while waiting, at least for a little while. Sometime in your waiting, other things happen to discourage you from waiting. But God wants you to stand still and know that he is God and just wait. Just wait. It has been said many times that we have a weight problem. I'm not talking about W-E-I-G-H-T. We have a W-A-I-T problem, just waiting. You know, everything in society now is quick. It's so fast. Sometimes I just like, where's the people? Where are the people? Everything is so fast. So automated. I get frustrated when I call and I have to talk to a machine on the phone. That frustrates me. But we have a problem with waiting, but now we are in a place where we have to wait. The Lord told the disciples just to wait. Just wait here. Wait in the Hebrew is hava, and it means to bind together, perhaps twisting of strands or making a rope. You're going to take that rope and tie it on to something so that you can hold on and wait. It says, look patiently. Didn't say in your waiting to go to sleep. Look patiently. Be aware of your surroundings. As they say, keep your head on swivel. Always looking. Tarry, await, hope, expect the Lord to do something. Jesus told his disciples, just wait. If you just wait here, this is what's going to happen. Expect the Lord to do something in your waiting. Kids sometimes, and just not kids, but some of us, have a problem with waiting. Sometimes we can say, just wait, sit right there and wait. I know y'all have told y'all kids before, sit right over there and just wait. And you turn your head and they're nowhere to be found. And you told them to sit right there and wait. We can't do that. We got to be obedient to God. Sit and wait. Because the promise of the Father could come while you done moved. It could come while you have moved. You miss your blessing. You miss the promise. You miss the Holy Spirit. You miss everything that God has for you because you did not wait. So we got to be patient and we got to wait. The Father is sending another promise. He sent his Son in the terrible times. They were waiting on the Messiah, and they thought he was going to come riding in a helmet on a horse, mighty in power. But he came in on the donkey, humble with love. So the Father sent you a promise, sent you a blessing, Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus Christ is sending a blessing. The Son becomes the blesser. Wait. If you just wait, do what he says do, and this will happen. But we have a tendency sometime in our waiting to decide that we're going to go over here and do this. And look at your watch. I got time. I can get back. I got time. I got at least 2 hours. I got at least a week. We do that. We do that. When you're not a part of the kingdom of God, you say, I need to get myself together. Come on. Once I get myself together, then I'll come join the church. But let me tell you something. You cannot get yourself together. You cannot get yourself together. And even once you join, we cannot get you together. We are not the persons that get you together. This is not a redo, a remake, none of that. We can't do that. We can inform you. We can teach you. We can preach to you. But only the Jesus Christ that died on Calvary and rose on the third day is the only person that can fix you. That's the only person that can fix you. And you got to be willing to be fixed. You have to be willing to be fixed. Because all we can do is try to train you up in the way you should go. Once you come in here, train you up in the way you should go. That's all we can do. You have a free will to do what you want to do. But Jesus Christ is the only one that can fix you. Jesus Christ is the only one. Jesus Christ is the only one that trying to clean us up, trying to get us straight. We ain't all together yet. We're on our way, but we ain't there yet. Paul said, I have not apprehended, but I'm going on. I'm going on. So you got to believe that Jesus Christ is the one that's going to get me straightened out. And if you know anybody that know Jesus, then that's the time for you to come on into church. That is the time for you to come on into the church. Because we are the ones that's supposed to be spreading the gospel. What language are you speaking? What language are you speaking? Are you speaking the language that they can hear and see that Jesus Christ, what is your personal Savior? Are you saying that? Ain't nobody said amen. Ain't nobody said I am. Y'all can talk back. We all family. Y'all can talk back to me. What kind of language are you speaking? They said suddenly. And suddenly, this is what happened. Suddenly, that is quicker than quick and faster than right now. Suddenly, there came a sound from heaven. I can just imagine all in the same place at one time. And then you hear a sound coming from heaven as a mighty rushing wind. And it filled the whole house. It's like coming in here and filling up this building right here as they were sitting. Then there appeared to be divided amongst them was tongues like fire. Can you imagine if that happened up here in Tabernacle today? That all the tongues was all over our heads. And we got baptized in the Holy Spirit right here in this building today. Do you know how much dunamis power we have up in here today? Dunamis power is dynamite power. Do you know how much? Do you know how we can move and make changes in this community? Do you know? The Holy Spirit was not coming just so you can say, I have the Holy Spirit. No. The Holy Spirit comes to work within you so that you can work in here and out there. In here to get out there. Make the plan in here and go out the door. That's what we have to do. That's what we have to do. And scriptures tell us that once you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, then you receive then the Holy Spirit. What language are you speaking with the Holy Spirit that's already in you? That's what I want to know. What language are you speaking? Because the gift of the Holy Spirit was worth waiting on. The gift of the Holy Spirit comes as He wills. We can't go to the store and just buy the Holy Spirit. It's a gift. And only Jesus gives out the gifts. And He's not Santa Claus neither. The gift does not always come according to our expectations. But the main thing was they was in one place. They didn't leave. And they was on one accord. Okay, one accord. That's all like-minded. So we have to be all like-minded. And wait on the Lord. We have to be all like-minded and wait on the Lord. So we can share and trust in this promise. Before we can be filled with the Holy Spirit, we must recognize our emptiness. If something is already filled up, you don't need to put nothing in it. But if you know that you're empty and clanging, like that grill that's in my trunk of my car, bang, bang, bang. I forgot to take it out. And every bump I go over, I remember I forgot to take it out. So if you empty and you clanging like that grill, you know you need to be filled. You know you need to be filled. And we have to recognize that we need a filling, an indwelling of the Holy Spirit inside of us to work in us. We have to be obedient in prayer and gatherings. These disciples did just that. They recognized they did not have all the resources in themselves. Even though Jesus had been teaching them, he told them to wait. They had probably all been baptized by John. And now he wants them to be baptized with the Holy Spirit, so they had to wait. To do what they could do, they had to wait. To do what they should do, they had to wait. They had to instead rely on the work of God and not the work of yourselves. That's when we get in trouble, when we start trying to rely on the work of ourselves and not the work of God. In response to the filling of the Holy Spirit, those present, not only the 12 apostles, began to speak with other tongues. And devout men from every nation from the gathering of the Feast of the Passover. They wondered, how is it that I hear each and every other language from which they were born? The Parthians, the Medes, the Elamites, and those dwelling in Mesopotamia and in Judah, the Cappadocia, the Pontus and the Asia, the Pergaria, the Pamphylia, and in Egypt and Libya, the Syrians and in Rome, and both the Jews and the proselytes, the Cretans and the Arabs. They all heard their own language from someone else about the wonderful works of God. That's what the Bible says. I'm not making this up. I try my best to say the names correctly, but I'm not messing this up. I'm not putting in stuff. The Bible says that they heard in their own tongues the wonderful works of God. They were speaking in other languages, but they all were speaking about the wonderful works of God. That is my question again today. What language are you speaking? What language are you speaking? It doesn't matter what side of the tracks you came from. It doesn't matter your education. It does not matter where you live and where you grew up. It does not matter your race or the color of your hair. What matters is what language are you speaking? Scriptures tell us that they were speaking different language, but they were speaking on the goodness of God. Are we speaking that language? Are we speaking of how the Lord leads and directs us? Are we speaking how he helps us? Are we speaking about how the Lord guides us? What language are you speaking? Are you speaking of how he teaches us? Are we speaking of how he comforts us? What language are you speaking? Are you speaking about how he fills us up? Are you speaking about how he strengthens us when we're weak? Are you speaking about how he brings joy when we're sad? Are you speaking about how he brings freedom when you feel bound? Are you speaking about how he transforms us from sinner to saint? What language are you speaking? Are you speaking about how he lives in us? Are you speaking about how he frees us? Are you speaking about how he leads us? Are you speaking about how he convicts us? What language are you speaking? Are you speaking about how he sanctifies us from day to day to day? Are you speaking about how he leads us from the path of unrighteousness to the path of righteousness? Are you speaking about how he renews our spirits? Are you speaking about how he keeps us on one accord? Do you have the same testimony? Is our language that of the goodness of God? That God is good all the time, and all the time God is good? The Bible says he was wounded for our transgressions, and he was wounded for our transgressions and wounded for our iniquities. Are you speaking about how God is a healer? Have you ever been healed? I know I've been sick and didn't think I was going to get well. Are you speaking about how he's a healer? Can everybody hear that he was a deliverer when you speak? Can everybody hear that he is our salvation when you speak? Can everybody hear that he is Jehovah Jireh when you ain't got two dimes to rub together? Our God provides. Can you hear? Can everybody hear the goodness of God? What language are you speaking? What language are you speaking? What language are you speaking to your family? What language are you speaking to your friends? What language are you speaking in the community? What language are you speaking? What language are you speaking to those that are without faith? To those that do not know Christ Jesus? What language are you speaking? What language are you speaking? Are you speaking how he gives grace? Are you speaking how he gives mercy? Are you speaking how he loves us? How he loves us even when we dirty and when we sinning. And when we repent and go back and do the same thing all over again. What language are you speaking? What language are you speaking? Those that were filled were attacked by those that were not filled by the Holy Spirit. It's always a bully somewhere around. Always a naysayer. But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, "Men of Judea and all that dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and heed my words. Since you suppose these people are drunk when it's only the third hour of the day, but we do know we can be drunk at 9 o'clock in the morning." I'm gonna tell the truth. Wait a minute. Y'all ain't never drank before, so I can't put y'all in this conversation. But I can say, I know that you can be drunk at 9 o'clock in the morning. I'm just gonna tell the truth. I ain't always been who I am. Good God Almighty. Jesus, what language are you speaking? And they say that people, when they get drunk, you know, they're rumbling off at the mouth and carrying on. But one thing I do know, when people get drunk, they gonna tell the truth. They gonna tell the truth. So if they was drunk, they was gonna still tell the truth about the goodness of God. Cause you know when you start drinking, well, I know when you start drinking, you get a little liquid courage. So to say that these men were not drunk, it's okay for that time. But we do know, we know better. We know better. I just want to know, what language are you speaking? The Holy Spirit now was working through Peter, and he preached so hard that 3,000 people came to Jesus. We can preach for 3,000 days and can't get 5 people. But you know what? He was working under the unction of the Holy Spirit. And do you know what? They was all speaking in tongues and telling about the wonderful works of God. But when he got up to start preaching, they all shut up. Because that lets you know that the Holy Spirit is not going to work against the Holy Spirit. that lets you know that the Holy Spirit not going to take you out of character. You know, the Holy Spirit not going to do that. Have you shouting and knock everybody down all the way down the row. Holy Spirit not going to take you out of character. Not going to do it. The Holy Spirit that was in all these people that was speaking, as soon as Peter got up to speak, they stopped. They stopped. Now this is Peter. Peter preaching. Peter is the one that denied Jesus Christ. Running man. And denied Jesus Christ. And then when he died, he went back and got on his boat and went back fishing. Took some of the disciples with him. But this is Peter preaching in the anointing of the Holy Spirit. He telling about Jesus Christ. Telling about what y'all did. But he still reigns. This is Peter. Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail. This was Peter. This was Peter talking. He had that courage and boldness that was complete contrast from him denying Jesus Christ. It was complete. Do we sound like we're drunk when we speaking? Is our testimony clear? What language are you speaking? Are you speaking the language of a drunk man? Is our testimony misunderstood? Then Peter began to quote the prophet Joel. This can be found in Joel 2 and 28. It says, now what you see was predicted long ago by the prophet. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. In those days, I will pour out my spirit even on my servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy. And I will cause wonders in the heavens above and signs of in the earth below. Blood and fire and clouds of smoke. The sun will become dark. Y'all seem like y'all might have heard this story before. The sun will become dark and the moon will turn to blood red before that great and glorious day of the Lord arrives. But everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Will be saved. How will everyone call on the name of the Lord if we not speaking the correct language? What language are you speaking? What language are you speaking about salvation? Not singing to the choir to those who already know Jesus, but to those who do not. What language are you speaking? Can those who are not like you understand the language of Jesus Christ? Can they understand the language of the Holy Spirit? What language are you speaking? What language are you speaking? To God be the glory. Amen, amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The Lord is asking us on this Pentecost day about what language are we speaking and who are we speaking it to? The Bible says to go ye therefore. Go ye therefore is not in the vestibule. Go ye therefore is not downstairs or not in the balcony, not in the parking lot. Go ye therefore is to go ye therefore. That's what we have to do. That's what we have to do. We got too many empty pews in here. We got too many empty cans in here that you can hear them shaking. We gonna have to go ye therefore. So at this point in time, I like to open up the doors of the church.